Well, we're here now. Thank you so much, Jessica, for reading our passage for today. Before we get into our lovely speakers for the day, I want to acknowledge some things. It's Mother's Day, right? So if you haven't had a chance yet to thank your mama, this is your sign. Thank your mama, okay? We've said it. But I also want to take a moment to recognize that Mother's Day may not feel like a joyous occasion for everybody this year. That for some people, it is actually a difficult holiday to celebrate, to look at, to think about. So for those that are on the journey to becoming moms, for those whose mothers have passed away, for those whose moms are sick, for those who are mothers whose babies are already in heaven, for those whose mothers cannot be with them, whether it's because of distance or because of COVID, we want you to know that we see you, that we hold space here for you, that we are thinking of you and we are praying for you. And if you want to talk, if you feel like you want someone to pray with you or just to unload yourself, my email address and my phone number are on our website. Please reach out. I would be happy to meet with you, to talk with you, or to find someone else to do that with you. But you are not alone. And we just want to acknowledge that today, that some people are on the journey and it has not been an easy journey. For some people, maybe you don't even want to have children. Hey, that's okay too. There's a place here for all of us to experience these different things, even today on Mother's Day. And so I wanted to take that time just to acknowledge that. I'm gonna share my screen. And like I said, for a second there, it went really squirrely. So let me try to get this up again. There we go. Okay, so like Kenneth said, first I want to say thank you so much to all of the volunteers who helped us pass out the roses yesterday. I had fun. I mean, it was rainy and yucky, but it was so nice to just see people at their door, you know, to look someone in the eye, to have a quick catch up, just, hey, how are you? And to bring something beautiful. So I really had a good time. Thank you so much to the different people who volunteered to drive things around. It was probably quite a busy day, but we really, really appreciate you. So it's Mother's Day, like I said, and we are going to be hearing from three of my favorite people. These ladies are precious to me. And like I said, in every announcement and in everything I posted, this message is not just for women and it is not just for mothers. Because while it is Mother's Day and we love them so much and we celebrate mothers, hi mom, I love you. This day, what we're talking about today is learning from each other. So I want to give you just a little bit of context about this passage that Jessica read for us. Now I had Jessica read it in the Voice translation. Listen, don't be scared to try different translations. When I was in college, they only allowed us to use the NASB for all of our assignments. I went to Bible college. Did I forget to say that? All of our assignments, every time we had to read a passage out loud, we were only allowed to read it from the NASB. And I found that really frustrating. Don't be afraid to try a couple different translations to get a better, more whole picture of what the scripture is saying. And so the main theme that we're pulling from this passage is that we are meant to learn from each other. So Titus is a letter that it was written by Paul to Titus. And at the beginning of Titus, he even calls him his true son. Basically that Titus, that Paul is a spiritual father writing to his spiritual son. And Titus is in Crete, and Paul didn't get to even kick off his work in Crete. So basically Titus is picking up where Paul left off. And so Paul is telling him all of the ways to try and get things in order. He starts off giving him instructions about elders and getting the church set up. So Titus is having to pastor and lead this congregation of baby Christians. And so then that's how you see that things are sort of laid out that way. Like Titus, this is what you're gonna need to do. Okay, and this is the kind of leader that you're gonna need to be. And you're gonna need to have people to support you. And you're gonna need to train the older men to teach the younger men and the older women to teach the younger women. Because guess what? The pastor can't do it all. So there has to be a breakup of things. So maybe in another talk, I have a talk coming, I think in July, I will dig deeper into Titus. There is some really good stuff here. And I'd love to go line by line because there are some things that stand out in our current culture that immediately make us think, wait a minute, did you just tell me to get back in the kitchen? Because that's what it can sound like, but that is not what is happening here. So I encourage you to read this in your own time, look up some commentaries. I learned a lot just by doing that. Just getting some different perspectives, reading some commentaries, holding up scripture with other scripture and seeing what God is saying there. So I encourage you to do that. And hopefully I'll get to come back to Titus at another time. Okay, so what we're focusing on is learning from each other. And this leaves no one out, whether you're young or old, single, married, whether you're a parent, you're a child, you're a student, everything in between. God makes us all equal. And I pulled some of these slides from, obviously from Instagram, so you know where I get a lot of stuff from. But I liked these, it really stood out to me. The first one says, Titus 2 applies to the single, the childless, and the widow. So not just the mothers, and not just the wives, but more than that. And he, meaning God, makes all women and men, spiritual mothers, spiritual fathers, blood-bought sons and daughters, lock arms. We're meant to do this together. And just like the second picture here, it doesn't matter what stage of life you're in. It doesn't matter whether you're married or not. Those are not the things that qualify you to share your life. Those are not the things that qualify you to teach or to be teachable. The cross qualifies you to teach or be teachable. See, it's all level at the cross. And that's the only measuring stick that we need. These kinds of talks often make me really nervous because I grew up at a time, I was a young adult during the whole Proverbs 31 woman thing. And I don't know if anybody knows that, but it is very hard to hold up this list of Proverbs 31 and be a Proverbs 31 woman. I just knew I was epically failing. And then it became, let's be a Titus 2 woman. It's like, nah, you know what? I'm a little allergic to this. So that is not what we're pushing. There is not a standard here that you must live up to. There is a cross here that we all get to meet under and we all get to share our lives. And that is what these ladies are going to do today. They're going to share their stories. They're going to share their lives with you, give you a little insight into their experiences. So without further from me, Inga.
Thank you, Christina. I wrote this down. That's not usually how I do it, but in the verses, we read that Paul asks Titus to teach the older women to be positive examples for the younger women. And in relation to that, I want to...
Inga, your sound is quite bad.
Okay. Is it better like this? Okay. I'll start again. In relation to what Christina read from Titus, I want to briefly share about mentorship and being intentional. My mother was and is my first role model, and I've learned all the basics in life from her. And I often found myself doing and saying things that my mother taught me. But this wasn't always the case. I moved out of my parents' house when I was 19 to study here in Leiden. And I lived in several rooms across the city. And believe me when I say that they were a mess most of the time. My mother taught me tidiness and taking care of your household. But I didn't really do anything with that. Only when they would come over and visit. And I think I'm just like any other student there. But over the years, I slowly started to incorporate some of the lessons I learned from her. And I took better care of my household in terms of cleanliness, but also financially. For example, during the lockdown period, after having lived 34 years on this planet, gotten myself used to making shopping lists before I go to the grocery store. I also know what I have in my kitchen, so I no longer feel the need to buy a pack of spaghetti when actually I still have 3 open packs in my cabinet. Sometime back, I found myself washing all of our curtains and later ironing them. It was such a strange sight that Kenneth made a picture of it, sent it to my mom with a surprised emoji. Needless to say that we all had a good laugh about it. But my mother did not always only teach me practical things. She also provided me with the necessary wisdom to handle the ups and downs of life. Her saying, and sorry for the free translation, "A man suffers most from the suffering he fears," often echoes in my head when I'm nervous, so like this morning, about conversations in the office or talks like this, or when I need to make difficult life decisions. I've learned from my mother to handle sadness and grief, to not put it away, but to allow it to be for a little. At the same time, she taught me to also respect the people that handle sadness or emotions differently and to treat them accordingly. Sorry, I'm realizing that I'm getting emotional. So the way she cared for me, my brother, my dad, and her friends was different. She was the same person, but she always cared with respect for others, for other person's being. I didn't learn these lessons because she told me, but because I observed her going through life. My mother was intentional about raising me in a decent manner, and I surely did not always follow her example. I can only imagine how difficult it must be to consistently teach a child certain lessons, only to find them doing exactly the opposite. Again and again. Some of the lessons that my mother taught me when I was a teenager only made sense to me in my 30s, and that is a long time for things to click. I'm sure there will be things she has taught me that I still did not grasp, but will only understand when I'm 40 or 50. Mothers are, in many cases, daughters' first mentor. In many cases, I say, because I recognize that not everyone has had similar experiences with their mother. And I therefore also want to share with you about mentors. When thinking about mentors in a church setting, we probably first think about intentional mentoring. For example, last year, one of the students, or should I say graduate now, asked me to become her mentor. I had to think about that for a while and pray and remember my mother's words about fear and suffering. I did not think of myself as a mentor. Had I been a Christian long enough? Did I pray enough or read my Bible enough? I often still felt like a student myself. So what was I going to teach her? But Paul teaches us in his letter to Titus that all their women should teach what is good for young women, to young women. And so that means I do not need to be gray and old and wise before I can be a positive example in someone's life, listening and sharing. A mentor does not have all the answers. In fact, I learn a great deal from her. So if someone ever asks you to be their mentor, don't fear. You too can be a positive example in someone's life. In fact, sometimes mentorship is not intentional. It's likely that you are already someone's mentor, or at least someone that a younger person looks up to. That also holds true when you are in your 20s and probably even when you are a teenager. In my Christian walk, my biggest mentor likely didn't even realize she was mentoring me when she did. In 2010, I traveled to Nigeria for my master's. I did not know what to expect, and I was actually really scared. The situation in the country wasn't great, and many people had advised against me going. I was picked up at the airport by Ayo, a scholar that I had met in Leiden earlier that year. He invited me to stay with his family in Ibadan for a few days to acclimatize. I was welcomed by Membe, Ayo's wife, who had given birth to her fourth daughter a few months before I arrived. She had cooked me a great meal in between feeding her baby, changing diapers, and taking care of her three older, almost teenage daughters. I remember the house was full of people, or as I later learned, filled with people. After a few days, I traveled to the city I was to work in, but my time in members' house had been so comforting. They had prepared me for my field work with practical guidance and wisdom, and they had prayed with me. Something that I didn't really know before that time. Between 2010 and 2015, I visited Member and her family many times. They moved to a bigger house where more rooms were, and so more people started living in their home. Some I found were their family members, and others were students at the university that was nearby. And to give you an idea of how many people they had in their home, I want to share a picture with you, and Sherry Lee will share it with you, and it is with their permission. All these people ate together, studied together, laughed together, and supported each other. And on the right picture, you see a picture of an evening devotion time. You can't see the whole circle of people in this picture, if they were more. They made time for devotion every single evening, reading scripture and praying together. I learned from them that prayer is not difficult, that you can talk to God about the simple things and ask him for help in even the smallest of things. I also found that worshiping God is not boring or old-fashioned, and that God can live in people's homes, not just in the church. I looked up to this family, to the love they shared and their kind hearts to friends and strangers. By example, they led me to start putting my faith in Jesus. They shared their stories with me, not just the good, but also those that revealed how human they actually were. By doing that, they taught me that we all make mistakes and that God is gracious. And forgiving when you submit yourself to him. Wow. Yeah. Because they had been so open, I dared to reach out to them even when I was feeling like a mess. I shared with them heartbreak, loss, and sickness. I think I'm going to. Yeah. There's other things I want to say, but I think I will leave it to this and ask Sherilee to talk. And maybe I can finish it later. Sorry.
Hi, everyone. Thank you, Inga. Just a question. Do you want to be off the screen now? Yes. I removed the spotlight. Thank you so much, Inga, for what you shared. Now it's my time to share my share. I'm more used to being behind the scenes, but how can you say no to Christina when she asks you to be a part of the service? And and it's an honor to talk on Mother's Day, of course. Jessica read the verses in Titus, and the thing that stood out to me is to be a positive example, also what Christina just said. And that's quite a big responsibility. Who am I to be an example to others? All these things, of course, come into your mind. And Titus is asked here to train the people in the church. And is it for us all Christians a responsibility to train others? And how can we do that? I don't think there's a best way to do that. I think the biggest lessons that you can learn is by your own testimony, like also what we've heard from Inga. That's why I love this series, that we get other people to share their stories, their testimonies, because I personally learned a lot from other testimonies. An example, a big example for me is Joost telling his example when he started his own business. He shared about his struggles and his doubts. And when I started my business in 2018, his testimony helped me to get through my doubts and the things that I was struggling with. So I'm really thankful that he shared his story. And until now, I remember everything that he said. So it proved many times in my life that another testimony of another helps me. And I get a lot of lessons from that. He wasn't preachy. He didn't quote me all these Bible verses. No, he just told me his story. And that's what I also realized in our Connect group, that when we started opening up and being real with each other, even telling about our mistakes in the past, we could more relate to each other. And oftentimes when I hear someone speak, in my head, I was, oh, I didn't know that she was also dealing with that. Or, oh, I didn't know that he was doubtful about things. I thought he was so strong. So being vulnerable and telling your stories, you can help others. And I think Christine also told about the baby Christians. Maybe we sometimes feel we have to be not perfect, but you know, we have all these answers ready when a baby Christian asks these questions. We have to know all these Bible verses, we have them at hand and know what to say. But I personally think by just telling your story and how you deal with certain situations really helps them. And also they have the feeling like, oh, she's human too. So yeah. I think that's the best way that how we can train others, by listening to their testimonies. So yes, also to encourage other people in ICL to please share your stories. We love to hear from you. And going back to being a mom, Christina also talked about Proverbs 31 woman. And when I read these verses from Titus, that's also the first thing that popped into my mind. That when I read that, it was like, not an anxiety, but it was like, I can never be a woman like that. I'm not that perfect. I'm far from that. And as you know, I'm a working mom, and I felt guilty a lot before that I worked a lot. And to be able to work that much, of course, it requires teamwork in our household. My husband is very supportive, and he will take care of the kids when I'm busy. So yes, it's good to have a Mother's Day, a Father's Day, but for me personally, it's teamwork. And I cannot be the mom that I am without my husband. So I oftentimes felt also guilty about working a lot, but I also enjoy my work. And Inga talked about her mother, and I also thought my mother, when she came here in the Netherlands, she was a nurse, and she worked evening hours. She worked full time until her retirement. And what I learned from her is that she loved her work. And we turned out fine, my brother and sister, even though we had a working mom. So I thought, does it help? Does it help my kids to feel guilty? And then I thought, you know, I also am learning them other lessons. I'm learning them that if you want something, if you want to pursue something, you have to work hard for it. You cannot be lazy. I thought, I also teach them that, yes, you can work for a boss, for a company, but you can also be your own boss. I teach them that if you want to make a living of your passion, it is possible. So I want them to show that there are many possibilities, and we should not, you know, limit ourselves. So when I thought about that, you know, that guilt also went away because it's not healthy to feel guilty. But of course, when time comes when you're neglecting them, you know, that's a whole different story. But I know I'm not doing that. But I thought, you know, there are different lessons that you can teach your kids, and also teach your others by your experience. And I think I want to end also with being vulnerable about a story of me in my, being a mom. I had this argument with my teenage daughter. I think all teenage parents can relate. We sometimes have these arguments. And we kind of yelled at each other. And she was also started to cry. And then also, I also broke down. I said, you know, I don't know anymore what to say. I don't have the answers. I don't know how to deal with this situation. And I don't think I'm a good mother at this point. And then she hugged me and we were silent for a moment. And then God led me, I don't believe in coincidence, God led me to tell her a story that I read that evening to Genoa, my son. And I told her about that story and it somehow fitted the situation we were in. And then I realized, you know, when God leads, he will take care of it. I don't know all the answers as a mother. And I think I also want to teach that to my daughter, that you don't know everything. But we talked. I was open about her. I told her about things in my past that sometimes I react on certain things the way I do because of something that happened. I told her about the way that God led her father and me together, that he made it possible for us to be together. We talked and talked until 3 a.m. And she said, you know, Mom, I'm so happy that we talked like this. And thank you for sharing your stories. And I will never forget that. So by just being you, by telling your stories, by just telling how it is, by being vulnerable, I personally think that that's the way how you can train others. That's my story. Christine, you're up next.
Hi. Am I still mute? Not anymore. Hello. Oh, those are really two great stories to quite happy to follow on. But so good morning, everyone. So, what I would like to share with you this morning about this passage shared in Titus is how it spoke to me, is highlighting on us being called to a purpose. That's the first thing. I mean, when I read it at first, I thought these are really solid things that like it's all almost like a to-do list, and it almost felt like, how Lord, how could we actually do this, like a checklist that, you know, to live this godly life, to be obedient to your word. And it almost felt like a burden at some point. And how, I mean, we are to teach, we are to be an example, as they're saying. And after hearing stories from Ian and Shirley, it also encouraged me, like, yes, indeed. And that is what I would like to share further, how it spoke to me, starting from the fact that we are called to do this. We are purposed, our life is purposed to walk on his will, to follow his word, and be obedient to it. So it should not be seen like a burden or something that will wear us down if we don't do it right. It doesn't mean we have to be perfect. It doesn't mean you should show only your strong side to other people. It is starting by being us and acknowledging that, yes, we can do this because God has called us to. Let me start by reading the passage in Isaiah chapter 49, verse 1. Though the original context of the passages in Isaiah in general is addressed to Israel, I am reading this from a personal standpoint, how it spoke to me. It says, listen to me, all you in distant lands. Pay attention, you who are far away. These words, these next words are what really spoke to me. The Lord called me before my birth. From within the womb, he called my name. Now this really spoke to me. As you may know, I am pregnant as of the moment, and I am a mom to be. And for me, it just spoke so much, because if I would think of it, there's a little person inside me who's at this point in time, God knows him by name. And same for us, when we were in our mother's womb, he knows us that intimate, he knows us by name, and he has called us, even from the womb. The words, the Lord called me before my birth, from within the womb, he called my name, that spoke strongly to me. Similarly, in Jeremiah, Prophet Jeremiah was told by the Lord, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I set you apart. That's quite strong. And then Paul saying in Galatians, the same proclamation, but when God, who set me apart from birth and called me by his grace, was pleased to reveal his son in me so that I might preach him among the Gentiles. And those proclamations by the servants of God has really convinced me that the Lord has purposed our lives for his glory. He has called us. He did not reveal to us himself, not only for our own consumption, so to say, but he has called us for his purpose. And that, relating that to Titus, time and time again, is such an amazing thought whenever I think of those proclamations. But what I want to highlight here also is the fact that from the very beginning, it is not for us to carry that burden of having to do things on our own. We can rest on that fact that God has a purpose for us. He knows us and he called us by name. You're a mom, you're a dad, you're a sister, a brother, a friend, a coworker, a student, a classmate, whatever role you are filling in, you're in your ministry. God has called us for a purpose. There is no such thing, as what Shirley said, as coincidence. With this thought, coming back to the passage in Titus, the call for us to teach, to mentor, to set an example, naturally becomes a part of who we are as followers of Christ. We can think of it like being Christ's ambassadors. When I was in, a young person in the Philippines, I have joined this ministry. It's called JAM. It's Jesus Ambassadors Ministry. And so it's so easy for me to remember this word, like, oh, yes, this is what we are called to be Christ ambassadors. So like what Paul said, Christ was revealed to him so that he can preach about Christ among the Gentiles. Now, preaching is not always being preachy about it, like what Sherry mentioned. It doesn't always have to come out like you reading the Bible to someone, debating on something, convincing people to Christ, but by being an example. And in Titus, that is to teach others in a way that honors God, by not slandering others, not becoming enslaved to alcohol, to teach others what is good, to love the husbands and their children, to live wisely and be pure, to work in the households, to do good, to be submissive to their husbands. Like these things, you don't even have to, like, you do this, you do that. This is check box one, tick the boxes. No, it's living your life according to the word of God, basically. These things bring glory to God. And this means obedience to his word. So regardless of age, regardless of gender or our status, this is what the word of the Lord asks of us. So sharing this to others is to start living by example, striving from the smallest unit that is ourselves. It is maybe good to include in our prayers. What does it mean for me to set an example? How to make it practical in my family? How can we show it to our friends, to our neighborhood, workplace, or study place? This may be something we can we can think about or pray about later, that how, Lord, how can we do this in practice? I think that's very important as well. But starting from the point that we are called to do this and God has a purpose for us, so let's not think of it as a burden. With this, please allow me to move on and bring that focus on the ministry of motherhood. It's Mother's Day anyway. So I wanted to share a small trivia on Mother's Day, but maybe next time for our time. But what I would like to share is something I have read that Dr. Grace Ketterman, who wrote several books on mothering, involving the Christian approach for mothers of all ages. And she wrote, "Perhaps the most urgent need of our era is the restoration of the high value of godly mothering. Those of us who cherish biblical values must teach and practice them consistently." She wrote further that we must see that responsibility as a higher privilege. It is a role to be reclaimed as sharpers and supporters of the next generation of leaders and parents. So I with these words, I believe we women and men alike have a very important role in mentoring and teaching. From my point of view, this is a special privilege. As women, as mothers, mothers-to-be, sisters, to grasp that sense of what God has purposed us to be in his ministry, walking in obedience to his word by setting an example, teaching others, loving others, and helping them build their character, their faith, the walk with Christ. All this is fulfilling God's purpose. To close, I would like to speak from the heart of someone who is a mother to be. I believe that there is such an amazing gift of what we call motherly love, or I have heard this many times, motherly love. That loving comes out so naturally, so unconditional, and so pure, even for a little person I have not even gotten to see or hold. I'm saying this from my heart, who is feeling this much for this little person growing inside of me. And I think it's a good starting point. That is why I believe that if we act from the state of our hearts, and coming back to the first message that God has called us by name from our mother's womb, and I hope that with this, we get encouraged and see that this calling is not a burden, but rather a blessing and opportunity. This is part of our service in our church that we belong to our community, to our family, our workplace, or study place. So mamas and women alike, we are called for a purpose to teach, to nurture, to love, and to build each other up. And with this, I would like to thank my mom. Happy Mom's Day to you, Mama. And to my mentor, Christina, and the great women who are very dear to me in ICL, in my Connect group. Sherilee is one of them. Very, very thankful. They have seen me. They have prayed with me. They have shared with me so much in life. They don't always preach things to me, but by being who themselves, they have given me so much, and they did this lovingly, so unconditional, and it greatly built who I am today. So thank you so much.
Ladies, I love you so much, and I'm so, so grateful for each of you. Do you guys see what I mean? How great are they? I am a little bummed that Inga didn't get to finish, because I know her story and it is good, but I am so, so grateful that each and every one of you came on and shared your heart, and you were vulnerable, and that's awesome. And that's what we are. We are a family. We are a church body. We are not just a bunch of people, you know, kind of standing next to each other and comparing ourselves and thinking, okay, you're getting it right. You're getting it right. That's not what this is. Comparison is the joy killer. We don't want that. That's not what we're talking about. That's why when we read passages like this, it's not to compare ourselves and to see, oh man, I am dropping the ball everywhere. It's instead to see that God is calling us out into other things. And there are great possibilities here that he will empower us to do. So thank you so much, ladies, for stepping out, because I knew it took strength and faith to do it. I'm going to close by reading Romans 12, 4 through 8, which is something that which is part of the passage that Andy will continue with next week. I do want to ask everyone, if you get a chance, to just encourage our ladies from today. Give them a pat on the back, a thumbs up, a quick message, and let them know that you were watching and that you appreciate what they shared today. Okay, so listen to this, because this is really good and it ties in super well actually with what everybody shared. So this is Romans 12, beginning at verse 4, and it says, "Just as our bodies have many parts and each part has a special function, so it is with Christ's body. We are all parts of his one body, and each of us has different work to do. And since we are all one body in Christ, we belong to each other. And each of us needs all the others. God has given each of us the ability to do certain things well. So if God has given you the ability to prophesy, speak out when you have faith that God is speaking through you. If your gift is that of serving others, serve them well. If you are a teacher, do a good job of teaching. If your gift is to encourage others, do it. If you have money, share it generously. If God has given you leadership ability, take the responsibility seriously. And if you have a gift of showing kindness to others, do it gladly." You know, including Jessica, who read our Titus passage, these women pour into my children as well. Without thinking about it, without having to plan it, they are doing and using the gifts that God has given them well. And they come and they sit at my table and they teach my girls without even thinking about it. And when my oldest was nervous about high school, she called Sherry Lee's daughter to get some encouragement. This is us functioning well as we take care of one another. So I encourage you today, this message is not just for the ladies, it's for all of us. Let's see each other, let's do our part, right? Using the skills and things that God has given us, and let's pour into one another. Thank you so much.